Oh, it does smell bad.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does. I don't want to be here.
It's the 12th Man Podcast, back for another week of banter-filled podcasting and all that kind of nonsense and shenanigans. Declan Maron over there.
Howdy.
And Ruth Holman over there.
Hi.
How you doing, lads?
Yeah, I'm tired, I'm alright. I had a bowl of chicken wings and I saw Iron Man, so.
Well, that's good. That's always good.
Just a little look into what's, an insight into what's happening.
An insight into your life.
We don't just hang out, we're not like a
kind friends.
Of attached triplets or something.
Conjoined triplets, is that?
Yeah, I said attached, but conjoined is another word you could use.
Attached at the hip. Conjoined, attached, yeah.
Right, what about, come on, how was your day? Chicken wings?
No.
Iron Man? No.
No Iron Man either, no.
12th Man.
It's a sad existence, really.
The 12th Man Podcast, you listen to it. 12th Man Podcast at Hotmail.
Don't build the email there. No one's going to want to get in after that.
The 12th Man Podcast.
If they had some chicken wings.
At Hotmail.com.
Yeah, 12th Man Podcast at Hotmail.com or at 12th Man Podcast on the Twitter. It's all happened there and on the website as well. Just Google the 12th Man Podcast, you get us on that. And sure, there's loads of videos and all that crack up there.
Yeah, there's stuff happening on Facebook, but directly applicable to our opening question, I believe.
Yeah. Look, lads, this kind of stuff doesn't happen in football too often, so when it does, you have to talk about it. And it's Phil Brownie Brown, the South End manager these days.
Orangey Brown.
Yeah, well, Phil Orangey Brownie Brown.
Don't call him that. Racist.
He's an orange man. look, he had a mate, apparently, Jeremy Kyle.
That doesn't shock me at all.
His mate, Jeremy Kyle. To do the team, he got them to do the team talk, the South End match at the weekend. They were losing 1-0 at half time. Jeremy Kyle did the team talk, and they still lost 1-0. Now, you know, we all know Phil Brown loves a ridiculous team talk, the whole Man City thing years ago when he brought the whole players out to the pitch. Did the team talk out there? But anyway, I want to know who or whom from the world of football would you have to replace Jeremy Kyle if Jeremy Kyle moved into the management role? Declan Merritt?
I want to first talk about the fact that in Football Manager, you can ask assistant to do the team talk. Will this be an option to do Football Manager? We can just
ask celebrity.
Ask celebrity. And anyone could stumble in. So it'd be like, you know,
Diana Ross!
You know, just all sorts of, like, or you know, on the you can either get a really good celebrity in or a really shit one, so like Gary Megson can turn up.
He's not a celebrity.
And he could be even playing against you. A really demoralising team talk no matter what he says. Or, you know, you could get the opposite and you could get, like, I don't know, maybe just a celebrity from the world of football, like Teddy Sheringham pops in and just hugs everyone.
I don't need to share.
Can I ask if you do this sort of stuff in exams? If you get a question on an exam paper and
can
you
I
just
first?
Go, first of all, can I just say this?
No, but see, lads, I don't see you guys in the exam. I actually see you as friends, which is weird enough, so we can probably...
I see
that's
you all
weird.
Know that's lies.
That's weird.
I see this as an exam.
Of our friendship. My answer would be, for the second week in a row, Roy Keane. I think the Jeremy Kyle show would be sort... I don't like the Jeremy Kyle show. I've seen very small amounts of it. It's just trash. And I think if people started, you know, bringing their crap problems to Roy Keane, they'd be sorted out a lot quicker. You know, they wouldn't be like... Although, the problem is he does fall into that category of, like, probably a generic angry man. So, I mean, America have a lot of those sitcoms where the guy just shouts at a heroin addict for 20 minutes about how he's damaged the family.
Sitcoms.
Jeremy Kyle,
the King of Queens.
But Jeremy Kyle's in America these days as well.
Yeah,
as well.
But he focuses on Munters back in England.
Back in Britain.
So I think Roy Keane would sort them out, and you know.
No, you're ruling the family. No, no.
He would, and you'd probably have to put Gareth Southgate in beside him, just kind of to have a.
Oh, well, Roy, I think you'd be the bear. No, you shut up, Gareth. Right?
Just to have a sad Gareth Southgate beside all these other sad families. Yeah, I think I got Roy Keane.
No, you're not marrying your sister. No, that's
wrong. That's horrible.
No.
You think I didn't want to marry me dog? I did. But I can't. It's not allowed.
Me and Triggs.
Triggs.
He's gone now. Gone. Anyway, yeah. Who would you pick? Seamless.
I don't know. I don't really know that much about the Jeremy Kyle show, except for it's crap. And he talks to people.
Munters.
Yeah. I'd like to see, he talks to Munters. That's the official press release.
Yeah.
I believe.
The tagline,
I'd like to see the Jeremy Kyle's show starring Kyle Naughton and Kyle Walker. Because like, I just imagine that that's, it seems more like a sitcom.
But what
really
would the Jeremy part be?
Jeremy Clarkson.
Just not for the world of football anymore.
He's the celebrity side of things, and then the football side of things.
That show would have no structure.
This family needs more speed.
I want to solve this family fast. Walker and fucking Kyle Naughton just stand in the background for a while.
You really put a lot of effort into your
Yeah, he really tried hard in this one.
I did, yeah.
I'm going to go with I've seen we're finished.
Yeah, I did also think about Branislav Ivanovic, because he does have that very angry demeanor. He looks like he would be a very intimidating man, and yet when someone does something very bad to him, he seems to take it quite well. So I think it'd be quite interesting.
He goes down, flops around all the time.
Well, he got bitten.
Controversial.
The one time he actually was bit injured, reacted normally.
But he could have Suarez on as his first guest, and he has anger management problems. And he has to discuss it with him.
Or if we just got Suarez in instead of Jeremy Kyle, and just anyone that comes on, he just starts biting them, just kind of goes at them.
Or racially abuses them. One or the other.
Or handballs them.
Yeah, handballs them off the line. But that, he just kind of forearms people in the face. Anyway, I think I might have. No, maybe I haven't used this answer before.
Is it Roy Keane?
No. It's not Kyle Naughton or
Pierce Michael.
No, it's not Pierce Michael.
That was last week, was it?
I'm gonna go down a different route. I don't want the direct replacement for Jeremy Kyle. I'm gonna go down Keyes and Gray. Richard Keyes and Andy Gray doing an obnoxious chat show where they bring families, you know, on, like, having problems. People don't want to marry their sister.
They come in and tell their problems. And they're
Richard, and he goes to the joint iPad and he'd start drawing. This is what's happening here, Richard. He's leaving the house, right? No, Richard, he's leaving the house and he's going across the road and he's raiding his neighbour. And it's ruining their family.
Like, I hate the fact that they get mentioned so much when we talk, but that is a phenomenal. So I bow my head, you've won this one, but certainly an opening question to forget.
I also like to think that, you know, when they're talking about, say, somebody's having an affair, and Richard Keith's like, so you smashed it. Smashed it. Banter. Ah. I just think they would, you know, I think they should do it anyway.
I'd watch that. They'd start getting distracted by things as well. Like, they, you know, just start looking at some girl in the audience. Just,
Andy Gray would start shaking.
Have a look at her, Andy.
You know, like he used to Richard Keys, like, this is how you go for a head on, Richard. And you start elbowing Richard Keys in the face. And
Richard Keys. Actually, was that in Master Day 2 last week or was it the week before? Where, was it Alan Hansen got, was it Colin Murray to stand up?
Yeah.
And was like, this is how you defend. He was like moving him around and stuff.
Really?
It was very strange. Yeah.
I imagine Colin Murray's just was like a kind of dummy that he did, like a, what do you call it, a mannequin. You just kind of pick him up and put him in.
Actually, Alan Hansen would be interesting. For Jeremy Kyle.
I think you'd stop watching after an episode or two.
What about Mark Lawrence?
Well, what an episode.
I can't believe
he's there.
Again.
That's not a good Mark Lawrence.
Why not just go the full way and swap Brown?
With Jeremy Kyle?
Yeah, like, so
Philbert would love that though, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but it would be great because it would get him out of football. Although it would have Jeremy Kyle in football.
Yeah, that's like having Ian Holloway in football. More, you know.
That's harsh on Ian Holloway. I don't think he's as bad as Jeremy Kyle.
True. Moving on, look, there's football to be had, and there was football to be had during the week. Real Madrid beat Dortmund 2-0, but it wasn't enough to go through in the Champions League.
Ruining my prediction.
You said one Spanish team would be there.
I said Real Madrid and Bayern, but I'm happy. I did say that to you guys. I'm actually quite happy that
nearly a comeback. It was good from Real Madrid, but just not good enough.
Well, if they had actually done anything in the first half, or before the first,
they created some fantastic chances
in the first like 10 minutes. Yeah, it was kind of like the first 10 minutes. They created some good chances, didn't take them. Last 10 minutes, created some good chances, took them. In between that, didn't really.
I think one of the huge problems, and I think we all saw Higuain getting booed, which is.
He's very
thing. I like Higuain.
You don't tell me what I saw.
But, well, his replacement Benzema was a lot better.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think Higuain had a really poor game, and how many times is he offside in that game? It must have been seven or eight. Like he, you know. So when we're saying that they couldn't create a lot, I mean they had a couple of half chances, and if your strikers and keep running offside, what hope have you? Like, you know.
But they were trying to play that. They always kind of play on the last man, and Higuain does that, and they're very deep. Ozil missed a chance very early, yeah, about 5 minutes, yeah, and it was, he could have squared it to Ronaldo, he could have maybe tried to chip the keeper or went around him. He shot wide with his left foot and dragged it wide, and was, you kind of thought after that, I know it was still early on, but you kind of thought to yourself, like, ooh, are they, if they're going to score, they're going to have to do it soon, kind of, because
yeah,
they're at that stage. Ronaldo had a good chance, kind of, I think he'd flicked the header at Weidenfeller. Now Weidenfeller, it was at him, like, it was an easy save. There's another chance, they had,
sort of had a volley, Ronaldo, though.
Yeah, they had another alright chance.
Higuain had a chance,
yeah, and Weidenfeller did well to come out on one or two, but you know, even the first 6 minutes they were really going for, and then Ozil missed that, and I kind of thought, oh,
we, me, myself and Rue talked about the Utsal chance before you got here. And we just talked about, you know, from Rue was saying he's not a great finisher generally, you know, fantastic player, not a great finisher a lot of the time. And I'm thinking in that sense, that's, again, we talked about this last week, what separates Messi is decision making.
Yeah.
From, like, he's got fantastic talent anyway, but decision making is second to none. And that was one of those moments where, like, Higuain was the option inside him, and was,
it was Ronaldo, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure it was Higuain. It was well open, easy chance if you put that in. And it's just like, to drag it front post wide is just,
and
awful,
even putting it into that space across the goal, like, there's a chance the defender might even knock it in. I know there's no guarantee
that
it's
going to get to that. The next game.
Oh, well, yeah. That'll happen as well. But Madrid went. They kept going. It was a, you know, from the 60th, maybe the 50th minute to about the 70th minute, nothing happened. They eventually got a goal pretty early on.
Lewandowski.
Well, I mean,
Dortmund could have been.
Lewandowski hit the bar, and Lopez made a cracking save against
Who really should have finished.
What?
Looked like he had, when we talked a lot about this, sort of justified maybe being picked again for Real Madrid against Dortmund, after we said, well, Casillas come back, probably should. And, you know, fair credit to him, he made a good save. But it was a bit of a mixture as well from Dortmund, because they just weren't at it up front either. Lewandowski looked tired and struggled to...
Yeah.
At a certain point, he just wasn't creating anything.
Yeah.
One of Dortmund's main... one of the most fantastic things about that Dortmund team is whenever you see one of the players go forward, he has so many options. Because of Royce and Blaszczykowski and Götze, who was playing off but got injured fairly early on. But they always have such a, like, they're never short of options, and just at the end was nobody getting forward at all to give Lewandowski an option, and then he wasn't winning the ball. So
yeah.
I mean, it was on for a comeback, really.
Yeah. Yeah, again, like, it comes back to decision making a lot of the time as well, because Dortmund had a lot of good, like, the ball in a lot of good areas, and final ball was just wasting.
Yeah,
they kind of, like,
I could pass it
or I could cut inside, and I cut inside and just, like, no space whatsoever. It's quite frustrating. I was really annoyed because when Götze came off, I was like, well, they're obviously going to miss something there because he's good. But Kevin Grosskreutz is a good player.
Yeah.
But he was
not as good.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously not as good as Götze, but I do think he's a good player. He's quite a solid player. He was very poor.
Mm. They kind of referred to him as a utility player, kind of just comes on and fills into any of those positions. I don't think it was a good decision to play Modric. I don't think he added anything.
I thought he was quite poor.
Yeah, I think he'd been kind of poor.
Yeah, because Ira came on, I was like, well, they should have done that.
You know, people say to you, he scored a goal against United, and he still hasn't had a very good season.
I think Modric is a fantastic player. Don't get me wrong, but I think he was poor in that.
Really,
I was wondering, like, why did he start? Because he was terrible in the first leg.
Yeah.
And the only reason why he'd started that was because Di Maria, his wife had a baby.
Yeah.
And Di Maria was back. So would you not just revert back to what he considered a strong line? They wanted
an extra... He's a little bit more attacking.
Yeah.
Another option. And to, you know, to go out, at least you have another man getting forward and who can score from those positions, can create a little moment or two of brilliance. So... You know,
it's kind of questionable, though, in a way. It's not often you see it with Mourinho, but you look and you go, well, okay, in hindsight, it's easy to say, but Higuain up front wasn't the right option. Modric in midfield wasn't really the right option. Mm. The first leg, you could argue that Lopez shouldn't have been a goal. You're kind of thinking, Arbeloa didn't even play him. Essien played.
Yellow card.
I think he might have been, but nobody else, could you not put Ramos out there, put Essien in midfield? I think Essien would have been good midfield because there was a lot of energy in that midfield.
Who would you play centre back if you put Ramos out wide, though?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's what happened in the
And when you have no
Pepe.
Yeah, but when you think of how good Lewandowski was in the first game, like
poor Pepe was, because that's how they lined up in the first leg. So I don't think we're trying to change it. Right.
But with 10 minutes it all kicked off.
Yeah, well,
shit went down.
Benzema got the first kind of cross ball across the box, smashed it in. When you kind of felt bad for Weinfeller in a way, because he thought there's nothing he could do about it. But smashed it. And then Kabof, that was the 83rd minute, I think.
Yeah.
About five minutes later, they got Ramos. A corner and came in, came to Ramos, and he smashed it in. It was a lovely shot.
For both of them, though, you could see the tiredness in Dortmund. It was really frustrating because the Benzema moment, there was like three defenders in the box and none of them picked him up at all. You know, he did well, Benzema, to get to it, you know.
Yeah, well, he came on, scored a goal, and set them up.
But that, even that one where he set up, I mean, it was a great touch again, the ball's going down. But whoever it was, I can't remember, it might have been, no, I can't remember for life me who it was, but at the front post, when he took the ball down when it kind of came from the air, and they just didn't close him down again. They kind of gave him that extra bit of time.
Yeah, so they were probably pretty tired.
Fantastic strike from Ramos, though.
Yeah, to get out from his feet and that's for the centre back to do that, even.
Yeah,
and to just smack it in top corner.
Well, Ramos was smacking people the whole game.
Yeah,
in fairness.
What was one of the things Mourinho said after the first time? It's like, Lewandowski's got 4 goals against us, and we didn't commit 1 foul against him. Said like every time he got the ball, we just let him go by. And you could see it even early on. He was crunched up in 1 or 2 tackles early on.
Yeah.
And you could see Klopp was getting pretty angry about it.
Actually, Bender hit Alonso with a hell of a response tackle.
Yeah, he booed him.
Yeah, we're making big tackles here as well. And he was like, oh, spicy.
It was like,
to quote Joey Bloody Barton, call it spicy.
Did you see Alonso when he came off, though? He was, you know, really animated on the touchline. He was up clapping everything and willing the team off, which is something you don't see very often from players. I mean, John Terry would do it, but a player like Alonso, you know, he's not, okay, he has an attachment to the club, but it's not his hometown club or anything like that.
Yeah, but I mean, he's passionate, wants to win the game. I think he's not going on and being an asshole the whole time, so I kind of don't mind.
A likeable player.
You know? Yeah.
Unlikeable player.
Did you see the celebrations, Dortmund celebrations?
Well, running on the pitch and
moshing. It's like a mosh pit. Did you see that? I don't know what the story, I'd never seen that before. But I think Bayern actually did too, and apparently with Byron's, a fan got on the pitch and security tried to take him off, and the Byron players protected him but didn't let him take him off, apparently.
Security reached there, yeah, let him on.
Dortmund were doing that and they were singing Que Sera Sera.
Yeah, if we're going to Wembley.
Yeah. I wonder, was it in German? Like,
nah, it's probably
something. Wir gehen nach Wembley.
I like Zum. That. Wembley.
Wembley.
Zum? Wembley?
Zum. Well, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, anyway, look, it doesn't matter. We should probably brush up on our German. It's an all-German final. Bayern Munich got there. Who would have expected that? 7-0 on aggregate.
Yeah.
7-0 on aggregate. That is crazy.
Yeah.
They destroyed Barcelona. And, I mean, not just in the first leg, but even in the second leg, they just looked... They were like a machine.
Better, yeah.
They were closing down so effectively. They were just... It's like they had an extra man on the pitch, which is the way Barcelona play. It seems like they have an extra man. But the way Barcelona or Bayern were playing, it looked... They were closing down. They had 2-3 men on players at times, you know. And even the substitutions, when they made them, they were just the right time, the right players coming on. Like, Timoshuk came on and making 2 pretty good tackles and winning the ball back cleanly.
Yeah.
They didn't really commit a lot of fouls. They did everything they needed to do, and they scored goals, which they didn't have to do, but they did. I know there was none in the first half, but it was just incredible.
A couple of nervy endings to the game as well, with the players he knew were on yellow cards, like Martinez and Lamb. And I was like, get them off!
Yeah.
Get them off! I don't want them on! I don't want them to miss the final, you know? It'd be heartbreaking to see Philip
Martinez
Lamb miss the
again.
Final. Yeah, Martinez.
He's just the man of the match, probably. He drove the team forward. And Muller was, again, quite good. That leap for the header was incredible.
Yeah,
to get your body up, like
that. He does that quite a lot. He gets up and over the ball. Was it what we were saying about...
Yeah, last week,
yeah.
The header, he scores those... I wouldn't say he's a particularly powerful header.
But he's very good, very
athletic. The leap he gets on and the vision he has to pick out... You know, where, because that was just a little kind of dink header. A dink header! Cracker!
Fellas, just fell into the net. Like
fish. That one here. He's not 5'6", though.
He's like a salmon. Not Connor Salmon, though, unfortunately. It was fantastic, though. Just the way they pressed and passed and just seemed to play Barcelona off the pitch. Now, of course, Barcelona didn't bring Messi on at any stage.
According to Villanova, he wasn't injured, though.
He said he didn't feel right, though, or something along those lines.
Well, Messi...
Ooh, this is a bit of a dodgy thing that happened with Ronaldo around the 98 World Cup final. Like this.
But Messi said he had weird sensations, which is like...
That's what...
What's he been doing? Like, that sounds sexual somehow.
Yeah, it sounds like his... like he was burning when he was peeing.
But no, Villanova said that he wasn't injured. It just didn't think they'd go through.
Yeah, the, well, I think maybe when the first goal
kind of bleak outlook for
maybe the first goal went in. I know it was, it got to half time nil on. In the first, Robin scored, you know, but that's that. That's it over. That's a contest.
Yeah.
And Robin, thought, there's no point in bringing Messi on because it's just going to bring him on for 40 minutes. He might get injured. He'd just get tired.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, when that goal went in, I think whoever was commenting was saying that probably felt had Barca scored, maybe if Barca had scored at the end of the first half, he might have come on at half time, given them a lift and they could have gone on from there. But there was never any point where Barca seemed like they scoring. Were on top.
They didn't, that was,
or they had the momentum with them or anything.
Well, I didn't see the possession stats, but surely they couldn't have been that far off 50-50. Like, I can't see a Barca dominance. I didn't see that. You know,
well, they did. They, I mean, there was a lot of time where it was just kind of they had the ball and it was.
I don't think there was, though. It wasn't much like they had a lot of possession and just were doing that. Bayern were just. It was relatively 50. It was actually quite a good game to watch in the sense of, you know, not as good as the 4-0 because there was goals and had.
It was 3-0. Yeah. Still quite.
Yeah, exactly. But it just had so much nice football to watch all the time. Yeah. You know, and the strange thing again is like Robin was very highly involved. Still was annoying me a lot. I was like, oh, look, he's so good. No, he's not that good. He's just not that good.
But he was tracking back again. And
Ribery's tracking back was
The work
fantastic.
Rate on all the players was fantastic.
When Ribery tracks back, though, it's kind of worrying as well. Like, it's great to see him track back, but you're kind of, oh, he's going to kick somebody. He's going to troll Xavi on the floor.
What this game for me showed was Barcelona's front line is quite inept at the moment. I've never felt an attachment to Pedro. I always felt that Pedro probably wasn't good enough to start in that team. David Villa had a very poor
he's
game.
He's been on
and
down in the slump, but yeah, I said this
he
in January, he's not the Arsenal. I didn't want him at Arsenal.
Yeah, he's not the player that he used to be, like by far, you know. Fabregas for me didn't do a lot up front. I still think
he's playing in Messi's role.
Should be playing deeper. Sanchez, come on, did nothing. I think Sanchez, one of those players,
is not very good.
I actually think he's a good player. He doesn't have enough impact. He's got the pace to make, you know, a pacey impact and win a penno, but he's not a game changer. He won't contribute enough to help you win a game.
That's a good point. Yeah, he's very flash. You know, you bring him on when you win 2-3-0 and you might score a goal or set one up. But they just seem to lack something when Messi's not there, and you know there's no replacement for Messi, and you're going to spend money if you want to bring another striker. So. Do you go for a plan B or do you go for a similar one? Try to get a player like Aguero in? You know,
apparently, according to a couple of other podcasts, I'm not going to name, from what they were reporting, was Ibrahimovic apparently was their plan B back then. We saw how that worked out. I mean, they can have Andy Carroll if they want to go.
Well, they were winning things when they had Ibrahimovic. He scored goals against Arsenal.
They still are winning things. I don't think it's fair to say that they're
winning things.
Yeah, but I mean, this
one
year,
thing.
Winning
haven't
thing,
won it yet.
In general, still...
Haven't won it yet, that's true.
That's the thing.
Still need 2 points.
We don't want to fall into the this is the end of a wonderful, brilliant team category. It's like, well,
so is this the end of a wonderful, brilliant Barcelona team?
That exact way. But we just want to wait and see how to get on next season, what way.
Wait and see, attitude will get you nowhere.
Alex Song was terrible as well, actually, I might say.
Very poor. That 20 million is quite justifiable as an Arsenal fan. So... Bayern, true. Dortmund, are true. All German final in Wembley. Who's just going to win?
I'm thinking Bayern Munich. I think Dortmund have shown in the last four games, two nervy endings to games that they could have lost. So there's a clear indication that, you know, while these players, they have such a high work rate, Dortmund, they play really nice football. But they still have the ability to kind of lose games when they shouldn't, you know. I think Bayern still have this brute force about them. And the hunger that they didn't win the game last year. I was there at the fan park and I saw how devastated it was to like the entire... Like, that should have been a party city that night. It was one of the most glum endings to anything I'd ever seen, you know.
You obviously haven't seen the butterfly effect.
it's
terrible.
But I think there's a hunger in Bayern anyway to go with it.
Yeah, I think Bayern. They're simply a better team.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to go Bayern myself, lads. Oh, no,
it might all change now on the weekend when Dortmund go out and win 7-0 against Bayern.
The Bayern will probably still play a reserve team anyway.
Well, I can't imagine they will. They just want to keep winning, don't they?
Well, they have done, though. I mean, they made, what, seven or eight changes for the Bundesliga game to the Champions League game.
Yeah, but their B team will consist of Mario Gomez up front.
Was Mario Gomez out of that game because he's carrying a yellow card? Because he started against Barcelona last game, a lot of problems.
The only reason why he started against Barcelona in the first leg was because Mandzukic was
fair enough. Fair enough, yeah.
And actually, Mandzukic was excellent as well.
He was pretty good, yeah.
I've been very impressed with Dante at the back. Is it Dante? Yeah. He's been really good. He's very composed, really, you know, clear, composed head in him.
Everyone makes this point, but he only cost about 4 million as well.
Yeah.
Well, so it was a step up.
It was an absolute bargain.
Yeah.
We move on to Europa League. Let's just fresh off the presses. Hot off the presses.
Fresh and hot.
Get your muffins.
Get your Chelsea flavoured muffins.
Get your Chelsea and Benfica flavoured muffins. Well, I imagine Chelsea ones would be full of
blueberries. Eagle and blueberry.
Chelsea beat Battle 3-1 tonight. David Luiz scored a lovely goal.
Oh, cracker.
Yeah.
Absolutely sensational.
You probably have seen it by now if you're listening tomorrow, which is Friday. You know what I mean? It's a great goal.
How are you listening this tomorrow? Because surely when you're listening this, it's going to be today. To them.
Get your muffins.
I think we know what this one's called.
Chelsea, they won 3-1. They're playing Benfica in the final. It's Rafa Benitez in charge. Is this, you know, done deal? They're going to win it?
I don't think so, actually, because, I mean, we saw... Rafa Benitez is the thing about comebacks, right? Like, he should be going into that game with the view of getting a goal, and that should be the end of that game. They got two away goals already. Just get one more goal, finish it off kind of thing. And they go in halftime after a kind of scrappy enough game and they go in 1-0 down. And it's like, how are you going in 1-0 down this? You should be pushing on for that. You've got, you know, I don't think Matt has started, but you've got Hazard, Torres, Moses, fair enough, Lampard, you know, they should be going to kill this game off. And they have to wait till the second half and obviously got a bit of a kick up the arse. And, you know, ultimately, I don't think that's going to cut it. I think if they're giving away sloppy goals early on, they're going to get punished.
So you think Benfica could punish them?
I think if they're not careful, they don't start well, Chelsea. And I think that's fairly obvious for the last couple of weeks.
Big JT in the team. Frankie Lampard won the midfield.
He wasn't playing tonight. I don't think he'll start the final either.
Do you think Chelsea, Benfica?
I think it'll happen, yeah.
Do you think it'll happen?
I think so.
As a final, do you think it will happen though?
I think it'll happen as a final.
As a spectacle. No, but who do you think is going to win?
I don't know. Because Benfica do play some very, very nice football. And Chelsea can play some
very bad football.
Very bad football.
Stuff,
And Chelsea are still going for the league.
I mean, Chelsea do still have
a lot to play for. So they will be playing full teams between now and that final. It's May the 15th, it's the final.
Maybe
30, it's a midweek game. It's a Wednesday final.
Maybe it isn't the 15th. It's 13 days away from now.
Whatever. So like they're gonna have to. That's gonna be wedged in between. Between the last fixture, last two fixtures of the season, isn't it? So I know. I think Chelsea will win it myself.
I do think they are a better team, but I don't think it should be. They should be. Benfica should be right now.
I don't know about Benfica. The small team out there, foreign country.
Uncle was giving off that vibe. Didn't hesitate to say the team he knew on 3-8. Like, who do you think? Chelsea. Definitely. Before you ask me, because I don't want to answer.
Can't pronounce that other team name.
Definitely. Oh, Jesus.
Amsterdam is where the final has been held.
Last
holiday.
John Terry got a hungry
cracker. He loves them tulips.
He'll have his clogs on.
Do you think they could play in clogs? That'd be deadly.
Just to mock the Europa League final. Oh, it's not as important as Champions League. We're playing in clogs.
Yeah, we were playing in clogs. We could, no goals. Windmills.
Start a terrible old trend of Adidas clog ads where it's like, you know, start putting Henri and Zidane in them and like mad ass.
You could, they might, for the warm up, they might do an old bike ride around the city.
For warm up, they might just smoke a few joints. Get nice and toasty early on.
I wasn't hungry when I came in here. Right, look, moving on. Premiership. That's where it was all happening at the weekend. Arsenal won, Manchester United won. a real missed opportunity for Arsenal, I think, as an Arsenal fan. Yeah. I mean, this was a real chance for Arsenal to get 3 points. It was almost like Ferguson said, you can, you know, without actually saying anything, you can win this one. Like, our players are still hung over by looks things, or drunk in Raphael's case. it seemed like a real miss. It's just like, what do you... he did. It was 1 point. He got the ball off Cazorla and he stumbled a bit and kicked it out for a corner. I was like, okay, what's he doing? Phil Jones looked at
me. It was Fabio. It was definitely Fabio. Raphael was locked in. He's using his left foot a lot for.
Yeah, I think it was a real missed opportunity. I think Sandin was at fault for.
Oh, absolutely.
The goal, definitely. Gave the ball away and then just took Van Persie down for no reason.
While you're on that, I think it's an interesting point. Michael Owen and Les Ferdinand were a match of the day too.
That is an interesting point.
Yeah.
Move on.
Owen said that fullbacks nowadays aren't world class. He said that Sanya and Evra were, picked them out as very poor in the game, and said there's no Winterburns and Dixons.
I don't think the point that he was making was that those two were world class and Evra and Sanya aren't. I think it's the role that those two played being more part of a solid back four.
Yeah, I think that's not the way he portrayed it, you know. I mean, I agree with what you're saying, actually. I don't think there's a view, because everyone wants attacking fullbacks now,
yeah.
There's not a view of a solid back four. Except for Stoke. Mm-hmm. Remember the, Upson,
Woodgate, Hoot, and... Well,
one other person.
Shawcross,
yeah.
Lump Hoot.
Back
right
four. Who played left back there, huh?
Upson left foot. Ugh. Left back. Yeah, I understand that. Like, Sanya and Evra were the two best fullbacks in the league three seasons ago. Yeah. But they've both been... I know Sanya broke his leg. It's understandable. But he hasn't been the same. But he has actually been quite good in the last 3-4 games apart from this one. But... And he's missed when he's not there. But as I said a couple of weeks ago, like, if we could sell him and bring in some new, you know, decent right back, then you wouldn't be too dismayed as an Arsenal fan, because he doesn't... Just, he made some sounds last summer that he didn't really want to be there because, you know, Van Persie had been sold and Fabregas had been sold and...
Made some sounds.
Walcott's impressed me in that game.
He was offside
early
for his goal.
Yeah,
offside, well, definitely.
I got really annoyed by that. De Gea, the only person that appealed for it. None of the back four put their hands up.
You don't put your hands up. Doesn't matter. Play on. You play to the whistle. You don't put your hands up if it's offside.
I don't like that.
I think there's too much of that. I think they kind of stick their hands up and get lazy. If you keep running and he's not offside,
I don't think they should have stopped running. But I think
it's possible
to run with your hand off.
No, I know it is, but I don't think you should be concerned. If it's offside, you put your hand up, isn't going to influence the linesman's decision, I don't think.
Well, maybe not, but you know, at least you're giving him something to think about. I think for me, from that point of view, if I can do that, I'll still run back.
I just
admittedly slower than those players. I'll run back, but I'll put my hand up and go, you know. Give him something to think about, otherwise I'll be annoyed at myself in any way trying to deny that goal.
You see, but I think it happens all the time that players stick up their hands and call for offside. Like, even players are blatantly onside, so I don't think it does make the referee or the linesman, sorry, team
not,
or
not
the
always.
Assistant referee.
Not always, but I mean, you'd want to prevent that goal whatever you can. If you might get a nice cheap offside decision from it, so be it.
Yeah, but I don't think that influences it. And he was offside, but hey, especially the goalkeeper, he uses his hands.
Yeah.
Don't be sticking your hand in
the
air.
But it was a good bit away.
Yeah, you have to ready yourself, though.
Actually, the best example of that is when
Barthez,
and Di Canio. Yeah,
that
was great.
It was the FA Cup, I think they beat them. I think they knocked them out.
Johnny Evans was poor for back then because he wasn't playing.
Yeah,
for the goal, he was turned. Rosicky turned him very easily. Nice ball now by Rosicky, and he did well. But I mean, Johnny Evans.
Rosicky had a very good game.
I don't know.
It's around that time of the season when he plays a good game.
You know how I feel about those words together.
No, I know, but that's the thing. He plays well at the end of the season and gets himself another year. I think he had a good game. I think he had a good game, though. And I think it was just a real missed opportunity for Arsenal because Arsenal needed the 3 points desperately to get that top four spot. And there's teams around them, like Tottenham drop points, drawing with Wigan. Chelsea have to play United this weekend. You know, you hope that they'll be tired after the match on the Thursday night. So you kind of hope that Chelsea will lose. And you think, if Arsenal just had to pick 3 points, it would have been a great position. Because that would, in a way, it's an added three, you know, it's a bonus 3 points. Because you kind of go, oh, United, they will probably lose that one. Because it's United. Like, nobody was beating them earlier in the season. Like, they were just walking over teams.
I just reminded myself there when Johnny Evans tried to headbutt Walcott for what was must have been about a solid 20 seconds where he put his head towards him and whoever was kept pulling him back a bit. Like, so it wasn't a proper headbutt, he just went to kind of mush heads with him. He just kept pulling him back, so his head was just in a perpetual state of like kind of further down his body, kind of aiming at Walcott. I was like, what if he charges now or something? Like, and also, James Nesbitt was there.
Yeah, he was normal fans, wasn't he? Yeah. He was like just the regular fans he was in with, wasn't he?
Yeah, well.
He was singing to his heart's content.
You do that though. If you were someone like him. I mean,
if you're Mike Ashley, you'll do it.
Well, if you're not Tom Cruise wouldn't get away with it, but James Nesbitt would be. He seemed to be the highlight in the second half, actually. There wasn't really much.
Yeah, there wasn't much going on. Oh, there's James Nesbitt again. But not much else to say, really. Did you die down in the second half?
Ryan Giggs could have won it at the end for them, I think. With that chance, I think he took a very poor first touch. Right. Had no pace.
Yeah,
cut inside. And in fairness, Chamberlain made a very good block because that could have been going in only for Chamberlain's foot got to it.
I think anybody else running that wing for United would have had the pace to get in.
Yeah, but Nani
would have ran out of play or something.
Yeah, Nani and Valencia were terrible in that game. I have to say,
Drunk.
they were really poor.
Nani and Valencia are terrible wingers at the moment.
They're very low on form, which is. I actually quite like Valencia. I think
he was a great player when he first went there. He's been just this season in particular. He's been very poor. What do you make of Van Persie? You know, back at the Emirates, he scored obviously the penalty.
He wasn't very good,
but he wasn't very good. Was he? Was very. I genuinely did think he looked a bit nervous and awkward. And he walked into the he went to walk into the wrong changing room when he got to the stadium.
Yeah.
Which is a bit.
That'll be on a soccer AM reel for years to bloody come. I thought he was very poor. As I said, looked very nervous.
Got
himself
booked for a very strange tackle on Mertesacker.
He wouldn't usually make.
No.
I was surprised that he actually scored the penalty because I thought it's a very nervous time for him and he had been poor up to that point. So.
But he did score the penalty quite well. Yeah. And it was a nice penalty.
Rooney again had like one shot.
He did not.
I don't know what he's going to do.
I don't think United were on form. I really don't think that was Manchester United. Mm. I think you can kind of dismiss it. And I think Arsenal, as I said, I genuinely think somebody else that weren't as if they'd been playing Fulham or somebody who wasn't in the same position that didn't really have a lot to play for, because I think I would maybe when Ryan Giggs had that chance, Arsenal were kind of like, right, we'll take the 1-0, we'll take the point. I think somebody like Fulham maybe they would have went there and said, we'd go for it, and they might have won by 2 or 3 goals because United just look so abject and all not.
Actually, that means that United can't get their record
no
points, Sally.
Which is got enough.
Got enough. They've already won it. Wigan 2, Tottenham 2. Spurs were really lucky in this game, I think.
Wigan were really stupid.
They scored two worst goals I've ever seen.
What? Was it Joel or something like that?
What was he doing?
He's collapsed in his hands.
Who was the pal? Was it Figueroa? He was passing. Figueroa gets the ball, looks up, could put it up, could knock it upfield, could put it out for a throw. Pass it back to the keeper. Keeper looks up, passed it back to Figueroa, who then passed it back to keep. And I don't know what happened, but Joel kicked it. He went to kick it. Bale jumped up, blocked it in, and you see it very rarely that happens. But he blocked. But the goalkeeper seemed like, oh no, that's not a goal. But he was like really kind of looking around the lines with the ref.
It was laughably unprofessional, really.
Sent off for unprofessional behaviour.
If it's as if he was taking the goal kick and someone blocked it, and then he was like, well, that doesn't count. You can't do that.
Yeah,
it was like, you can't block me. I'm the goalkeeper. He's been playing FIFA 98 when you couldn't even get inside
the
box.
The World Cup version.
I don't know, whichever.
The World Cup version was quite good.
Boyce equalised. It was.
Yeah, Boyce got an equaliser.
Scored a couple of goals, and he did last year as well.
Yeah, he got goals. Well, one of them was an own goal.
Yeah, unfortunately. But he's, done all right towards the end of the season, Boyce.
And then it was an own goal very late. I'm on the 93rd, maybe? Bale took the shot and went in off Boyce in the end.
It's worth noting that the free kick probably should have gone against Tottenham as well. I mean, I actually think Walker fell. That he was dragging.
Bolstajar, I think. Was it?
Yeah, it was Bolstajar. And we also can't leave out McManaman's volley, which is a
crack. That was a lovely goal. And then only 3 weeks ago, he was kicking Newcastle players in the
with the exact same movement.
Maybe that's what he was trying to do against Newcastle. Or smash him in the crowd. It was a lovely goal. But I just think that was Tottenham were very lucky to get the point there. And
how unlucky for Wigan, though. Been part of your own downfall, but I mean, it was what I complained about last week was that DeSanto, Kone, and Maloney like Maloney has been, in fairness to him, good the last couple of weeks.
Coney, Maloney and DeSanto, you know, that's a trio you want to front.
But I mean, they've been really poor, but in that game they were quite good, and they actually,
Coney had a chance. There was a ball lobbed into him early on, I think, and he took a touch, brought it down, and just made a mess of it. And you know, the commentators seem to go, oh, he's had a good season. I was like, well, he's not alright. He's only got 6 goals or something like that. It's not amazing. It's one better than Rodallega would have got them.
It got a bit frantic at the end as well. It was like, all like Bale got a free kick right at the end, and everyone was just like, what if he scores? This will be the greatest injustice.
I think, injustice is the word. I think Spurs very lucky to get a point, and it's going to be, you know, that could go a long way to the top four. Like, this could be a very decisive weekend. Tottenham getting that 1 point and Arsenal dropping the 3 in a match they could have won.
Well, they both got 1 point, really.
I know, but that's what I mean. But Arsenal could have dropped the point, or could have got 3 points, and Tottenham could have dropped them all. And then you would have thought, oh, maybe it's going to be Arsenal and Chelsea. Mm. Who do you think is going to get top four?
The silence there.
Yeah.
Because Chelsea beat Swansea 2-0.
At the start of the year, if you told... And a very irrelevant match. The first couple of weeks through this season, if you told me Arsenal were going to get top four, I'd have laughed at you. Because they were so bad. But I think it's very possible now. I still think they're in a decent enough position to do it. I don't know. I don't want to answer that. I can't.
Okay.
Simply can't.
Do you want to hazard
it
a guess?
It could be like, oh, Coyle, just should we go Chelsea.
Chelsea would get top four, yeah.
Chelsea would get both of them.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Could Chelsea top still pay each other?
Yeah.
And Chelsea play night this weekend.
That's the thing, I think. Yeah, it is. It's ridiculously tough to call. I still think Chelsea and Arsenal, though.
Really? You don't think Tottenham
will
get it?
I mean, Spurs are the ones who I want to get it the most, but I just feel like life just doesn't like me.
It's all the world, okay. Just talk about Bale there, and you know, he had the free kick and he had a shot. He won the young player and player of the year award, which we don't think should be happening.
No, stupid stuff. Again. Also, that deserved to win at least one. Yeah, I'd say.
Well, he deserved to win the senior player, and if he's good enough to win that, then somebody else should be allowed to win the young player.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's at the award ceremony, the PFA award ceremony. He's asked for winning the Writers Player of the Year, so the Football Writers Player of the Year as well. But at the I kind of forgot about this, but at the award ceremony, Suarez was booed. And this is kind of worrying for Suarez in a way, because this was an event attended by the players, the chairman, the managers, you know, the FA, people. These aren't fans that are there. So it's really worried that his peers...
Who's booing them?
Well, obviously it's other players.
But who does that at awards ceremony?
I do find it strange.
Imagine, like, you know, at the Oscars. Boo. They're like, you know, an actor you're not really that keen on. Oh, I'm terrible. Like,
it's not maybe like they were saying boo ass.
It's not like you Kanye West in it. Like, as far as you walk up on stage and start trying to bite people, like, again, or at But I was actually, you know, worth mentioning, it was at this, wasn't it, that Reginald D. Hunter, the comedian, was performing and says, as he does in his act, said the N-word a few times, and it's caused huge outrage.
Six Sparrows is laughing a lot.
Yeah. Claire
pointing and laughing.
Claire Carlisle is all over the place having to defend this while trying to have a fake career.
masquerading as a footballer.
Yeah, but you know, like, it's just total bullshit, isn't it? Like, listen to this. It's like, surely they've seen
the FA,
they've seen Reginald D. Hunter exactly before. Someone, I can't remember who, made a great point on Twitter. Yeah, who's right about this, about like this issue? Reginald D. Hunter or about 5 old stuffy men, old white men? I was like, yeah, good point, in fairness. I actually came up with a little, I thought we were going to have that as the sort of question of the week. And I was trying to think, I was like, oh, I want to have a joke to go in with it. And I came up with one of the worst football jokes of all time, if you want to hear.
Go on. You set yourself up for it anyway.
Who's Dan Collymore's favourite Dortmund player?
No. Who?
Gundogan. Like Gundogan, but Gundogan. Come on.
You should have been at that award ceremony. You know who would have been great at that award ceremony?
Who?
Keys and Grey.
Or possibly the first time to debut Jeremy Clarkson and the two Kyles.
I think if Keyes and Gray were at it, they'd spot Simon Massey in the ground. Alright, love. Oh no.
Smash it.
Just making a couple of jokes about it. Everyone really nervous and awkward.
And then they'd give you, Richard Keyes would be giving out the award, and give it to Andy Gray. He's like, I want it again. I want it again. Got it. Got it. I want it. I'm young player of the year. Take a boo. Take a boo, Andy. I will. I'll do it.
Just talking to himself now at this stage.
I hope he has to say, I'm going to leave now. No, I want it. No, Richard, this is how I want it. This is how. Oh, dear. Moving on to the relegation battle. We talked about Wigan briefly there. Aston Villa 6. 6, yeah, 6. Sunderland 1.
League 1.
Yeah, they'll be going down if there are results like that now. And yeah, the Canio and all that.
I don't think anyone expected that, but I mean, Mignolet had a bit of a shocker in goal, didn't he? Mm. He was at fault for a couple of them.
I saw a team of the week, or team of the season, a while ago. I can't remember whose it was. I was online. And then Mignolet in goal. Mignolet's had a terrible season.
Yeah, I wouldn't say terrible, but a bit of an on-off. He'd make a couple of good saves here and there, and then
he was good last season. I think he's a good goalkeeper, but this season he's pretty poor. And yeah, he did have a bit of a shock. He palmed one down to Benteke, which Benteke headed in.
He dropped one in at the front post.
He had a real shocker. But that's great win for Aston Villa, not just in terms of 3 points, but goal difference as well.
Yeah,
because Newcastle got spanked 6-0 by Liverpool.
We're gonna talk about that now.
Yeah, why not?
Yes, come on. Actually, first of all, I did just want to bring up Danny Rose scored. Would you have Rose instead of Okoto at Tottenham next season?
I
don't like Okoto. I think he's too rash and he just frustrates me too much. Yeah, I'd have
good,
Rose in there.
Good point.
Give him a chance. Rip. Deciding vote.
No.
Okay.
You should have for Tongan.
Right. Now, quick to the best. Quick to the best bit of the podcast. Quick, hurry up.
Well, I actually have just beside Newcastle 0, Liverpool 6. I just have Coutinho written down because he had a wonderful game.
It did seem like
nobody wanted to mark him in Newcastle team.
Yeah, Newcastle didn't really do defending.
They didn't like that.
Well, no, they weren't having any of that.
Not just the defenders, but from the front as well. They weren't really doing anything.
Me and Ray were talking briefly just before you got here, actually, and we were saying that like one of the main things about that game was you could see from the very first or second goal, Newcastle were trying to play a high line.
And
they weren't playing the offside trap. So they were just stepping up too far. I mean, Sturridge is fast enough player, and Coutinho was causing all sorts of problems.
Even Jordan Henderson.
But in fairness to Jordan Henderson, very fast player, and you know what he's starting to do? He's starting to do what Ramirez does for Chelsea. You know, we find a bit of space, we play it through, and he's finished all of the chances he's got in that position well. So, I mean, you know, he's starting to look like he's somewhat useful player because he's up the effort when it comes to chasing and defending.
Mm.
And he's put in a few like that, you know. I still don't think he's all that, but he's given a bit
He's all that.
He's given a bit of a Ramirez role, you know.
Well, interesting outlook on it. What about Coutinho, though? He had a wonderful game, didn't he?
He did. He was just fantastic.
Back to my point.
that little dink in for the third goal, I think it was.
The second goal, I'm thinking. Sorry, I'm thinking of just chips
in between the two players. And
yeah, I was thinking of Henderson's one where Sturridge controlled.
It's all about Henderson.
I keep calling him Stephen Henderson.
Yeah, I was thinking of him.
But the one that came in the air when Sturridge flicked it down, Coutinho gave that when he had the option to have Henderson or Sturridge in, and instead of like the obvious option was Sturridge, he put Henderson in. But as you said, the one after that dinked Sturridge in for Sturridge goal.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that a lot.
Another dink. We like dinks.
Seems to be problems at Newcastle though. I mean, losing 6-0 at home to Liverpool, losing 3-0 at home to Sunderland with the week before that. You know, I mean, are they going to go down? Is it possible? Or is it just that Wigan are too shy?
Yeah, I can't see Wigan really getting out of it at this point.
I'd be surprised if Sunderland went down, or Sunderland, sorry, Newcastle. They won't like that. I'd be surprised if Newcastle went down, to be honest. Like, it would just be not on the not on the cards
but
at all.
But I mean, they're very close to it.
Yeah,
yeah. They're dragged right into it.
Think this will be a bit of a wake up, though. I think they won't play as bad as this again.
Could well be.
You know, I don't think there's going to be any more 6-0s.
And seems to be a bit of division in the team. The French players seem to be.
Yeah, funny because you may talk.
Stephen Taylor.
You said this. What was it, last year or 2 years ago? Maybe. Would have been last year when Barton, Nolan, Carroll, like they're kind of. You made the point of they had a relatively solid English backline, we don't like that. We don't like the, you know, when West Ham went down. Why did they go down? They had Parker, Carlton Cole and Upson. It's like, well, because they had Carlton Cole and Upson and Rob Green. But they do, like, I mean, Newcastle were going solid with that
well,
team.
I mean,
and
the change last season was okay. Kabay and Tiote were very good, but Tiote's been terrible this
season.
Yeah,
but that's the thing, they're a bit off the boil now.
Van Aerfa looks overweight. You know,
he's still struggling to come back, Van Aerfa, isn't he, from that injury.
You know, you can't just go and buy all these French players and then you know, Goffran. But I think just those first two games.
Familiarity with league and that as a backbone of a team generally helps. Mm. You know, you
I suppose, yeah,
that.
They did sign a lot of players in January. Maybe next season,
once they've been relegated, they can get Nolan and Barton back.
No, once they've all had time to gel, they've had a pre-season together, they don't have Europe to worry about, they might have another good season, but that'll just be covering up again. Because then it comes down to they get into Europe and then the whole cycle starts again.
Did you enjoy that there was boos at half-time? I'll start full-time, but at X when they announced the extra time that was to be played. I've never seen that. So I was like, the fourth division was like, what? They haven't done anything.
Hate the number four up there.
Yeah. What number? Barini scored as well. Nice to see.
He did, yeah.
Second touch.
Yeah, he looked a bit lost with his first touch and then he just kind of, he passed it off.
He looked a bit lost after he scored. He couldn't remember what that feeling was.
That's not true. You're an outrageously bad person for saying that. The boy was injured.
Yeah, but he's,
it was surprising that it was his first goal
in the Premier League.
Yeah, you just think like,
he must have owned somewhere.
He must have picked up one.
Didn't play much in the Premier League for us though.
Good, but injured a lot this season. Mm-hmm. Anyway, QPR and Redden played each other. They drew and they both managed to get relegated.
Saddest, dourest relegation there ever.
But you think, they now just gone. One of them just go for it. they won't win there. And Harry Redknapp and Basinga went off laughing down the tunnel.
Yeah,
chums.
And the hilarious thing is, what was covered? Oh, what a terrible player Basinga is. He's not even, no one criticising Redknapp. It's like, he was laughing his arse off down the tunnel.
Out it.
He says he's going to stay. I still don't think he will. I don't care what he says.
I mean, look, he might stay, but, you know, come next October and suddenly Newcastle, for example, are doing badly and they sack Pardew. You know, somebody Harry Redknapp's the fourth name in, and then he calls back there. He'd jump on a chance to go back to the Premiership.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I think it's really.
He might not jump, he doesn't look like he's capable of jumping.
He'll jump and hurt himself.
I'm sure a lot of people have gone with this aspect, but we may as well talk a little bit about comparing both the teams that are, like, they're the two to go down. If you look at Reading, like, not a lot of money spent, manager experience at that level, you know, they're, you know, promoted last year, and not a lot of squad leaving. You would imagine with Reading, solid enough position to go back down. And then you just look at QPR on the other hand and you're like,
spent loads of money, manager probably wants to leave, players all want to leave.
Yeah, that's exactly the first three lines. You know, or they'll be stuck with these uncommitted players on high wages, you know. And then Redknapp had the fucking audacity to say, you know, if we maybe pick up one or two more players without breaking bank. You've broken the fucking banks already, you
don't know. Don't worry. Once Bobby comes back, once he gets Bobby fit, he'll be alright next season.
He said, a lot of people say we're too good to play in the Championship. Nobody has said that. Nobody.
You've been saying it.
Yeah.
Basinga said it. That's we're too good to be in the Championship.
Bloody foreigner. How dare he say something about those teams.
Alright, Reginald.
I was being the
moving on now. Championship, we're talking about that.
Yeah.
It's all gone down in the Championship. So we know Cardiff's been being promoted, but we're not sure who else. We're not sure if it's gonna be Watford or Hull.
Mm.
And it's gone on the last day.
Yeah.
Mm. It's important.
Hull could have finished it the other day. They lost 2-0 to Barnsley, who are in the relegation zones. Like
Hull. That's Steve Bruce.
I mean, that's the kind of game where you're like, this is it, lads. You go to the Premier League and play next year if you win this game. No, throw it away and lose 2-0 to Barnsley. Ridiculous.
Mm. Who do we? I'd rather see Watford.
I think Cole have had their chance recently, and they've brought up unlikable characters like Phil Brown.
Well, it's Watford.
We all love Zola.
Yeah, I think everybody.
But Almunia will come back.
Yeah, don't really care. It's not like when Nazari or Van Persie left.
Yeah.
look at him. Went to Watford for the glory. At least you win a trophy with them.
You
don't actually get a trophy for
second.
You get a trophy for first and for win the playoff, but not for second.
Yeah.
I just got a playoff. I know I'll win all those games.
Watford are playing Leeds the last day, and Hull are playing Cardiff. I mean, Cardiff might go and just take the piss, or they might go and they might win 3-0.
I don't think they will. I think that's going to be like, I mean, why would they when they, you know, end the season on a high?
They want it, but maybe, you know. I might say, well, we stick a few youngsters out and sure, we give one or two players that, you know, who might be on the fringes of run out to you what they're like, you know.
I'd be surprised if they do, but maybe.
I think it'd be a bit unprofessional, and you know there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on what team they pick, will go with a decent team. But it's great, it's all to play for. Well, did anybody see
Steve Bruce or Jeff Ragazzola? Which one would you rather in bed? Like? Steve Bruce looks more like a woman, so.
It's always so handsome.
Yeah, it's tough.
Oh, life is so hard. did anybody see Shabala's goal for Watford? It was a real smash. He
may have, actually.
He hit it, and it kind of you know, he absolutely just leathered the ball from about 30, maybe 35 yards out, just outside the box, like, hit it, kind of swerved a little bit, but just dipped and clipped the crossbar as it came in. It was a real hit because it kind of got rolled out to him and there was a kind of player in the way and he just went and smashed it. And it was real, it was a wonderful goal. But I saw it, like, I was like, what the? What a goal. That's not often, like, you know, you see these goals from outside the box, you're like, oh, that's a nice goal. But this was like, what the? How did he score that?
What the goal?
What the G? Palace, Bolton, Forest, and Leicester are all in the playoffs.
Well, no, they're
on the fringes of the playoffs.
Yeah, the others have pretty much made the playoffs. Yes. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to call the way it's gonna.
Hopefully, Bolton.
It's gonna be exciting. Yeah. It's gonna be exciting. Don't watch the Premier League this week. Watch the Championship.
Well, I mean, this is all Saturday. All these games are gonna be played Saturday, isn't it? So this is the last weekend season. It's gotta be.
And then
Jeff Stelling's gonna be going mad. He's gonna be shouting. Chris Kamara, I don't know what's going on. Mercy will listen to you. Charlie Nicholas will be making bad jokes.
I can't wait for the playoffs. I love the playoffs. It's a great part of the season.
Yeah, they're matches that seem so detached from the season though, because they gotta go, oh well, you know, say whatever, Palace are gonna play Hull, for example. Palace, but I was like, oh well, Hull beat Palace twice this season by like 3 goals both times. Like, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, this is the playoffs. Like, one team might win the first leg 1-0, and the other team might win it 2-0 or whatever. But they just usually go for it. Like, I remember Sheffield United was 5-4 in one game. Paddy Kenny was taking throw-ins and all. It was crazy. He was lumping the ball. That was absolutely mad. Still all going out the bottom as well because Wolves lost at the weekend, which means they're more than likely going to get. They can only stay up with Peterborough and Burnley.
Saunders is not done well there.
The fans invaded the pitch and got on and started kicking horns and all. I don't think the Football League show showed this, but they did in Sky Sports News. The fans were trying to get down the tunnel. They were being really abusive. They actually smashed up the dugout, I think. Like, I mean, it's not good. Like, it's not,
heard about them a few times, and I don't mean to, because I'm sure there's a large group of Wolves fans that aren't doing that.
Yeah, it's a minority rather than majority.
But at the same time, I mean, it stems back to what we said, why would you sack Mick McCarthy in the first place? I think that was a poor decision. And they've just moaned about everything since, you know? The club hasn't been handled that well since, I don't think.
I mean, 2 relegations in a row is terrible. Because people talk about how bad Blackburn were, but at least they're not going to get relegated. Like, they've pulled themselves away from that now. And it's a sham of a club, but
Henningberg was compensated about 2.5 million in the middle of the week. What a great job that was for him.
It worked out with, 225 grand a game.
What?
He was getting paid 40 grand a day in theory.
He filled his belly full of nice teriyaki chicken processed meats and then got a nice 2.25 million compensation for it.
Do you know, remember when there was a protest at the end of last season that they put a chicken onto the pitch?
Yeah,
in the
back of
it. I think Wolves
with a cape.
Wolves are gonna put some wolves on the pitch. Make the players work a bit harder. Or even better, kind of have them prowling along the sidelines and the players lose,
having them on chains, kind of thing, threatening.
That is motivation.
They shouldn't be smashing the dugout, but letting the Wolves eat the players is all right.
I do remember seeing a match maybe 2 months ago, and Wolves, they got a last minute, I think it was equaliser maybe, against Watford. And, you know, this was a great match to watch and all. And I think it was, he's not from a French team anyway. I can't remember. He's actually quite good. He's doing had a good season. And I remember the Watford goal for your team was a guy called Bond was in because I think Almunia was injured. Yeah. He was playing quite well. But it's like if Watford had won that, they would have been promoted by now. And if Wolves had lost, they would have been relegated by now. It's a strange thing.
Yeah, strange look back.
You think, it seems to be so different now because I think we want Watford to go, but we don't want to see Wolves relegated. Yeah.
And we don't have a problem with Hull, we're saying as well.
Well, speak for yourself. We moved dropped out to League One. Very briefly, it was a great finish to League One because Doncaster played Brentford. They're what? They're second or third? First or second?
First and
second. And 90th minute, I'm sure at this stage most people have seen this and heard about it because it was just so incredible. The 90th minute, they get a penalty. Brentford get a penalty. They think this is it, right? We're going to win. You know, we're going to
seal our promotion.
We're going to seal the promotion. They get up to take the penalty. The on loan player, I can't remember his name now. He was on, I forget names.
Great for names today.
Yeah. On loan, 20-year-old takes a penalty, letters it off the bar. There's a bit of a scrabble in the box. The ball gets cleared off. I think it's Billy Painter on the wing. He gets. I don't know what he was doing over there. He just happened to be because there's only one camera at the ground, so you don't know why he's there. you need a fan's account while you stand there. He just breaks away and runs up the pitch and just passes over. And last minute winner. Like, I mean, last minute was empty 6 minutes.
Nice little finish as
it
well.
It was a terrible finish.
Yeah. He was being so cautious with that. Because, like, I've seen that happen. Like, you're just like, you get the ball, say, you've missed a few before that, you're like, I'm putting this one in. If I have to walk it into the net and, like, lie down on top of it just to make sure that they all know it's over the line, I will do that. It was fantastic. It was, like, you know, you feel sorry for Brentford and all that, but what a bloody end to that game. Like, it was absolutely amazing.
It was an end. Great end season. I think that meant Bournemouth missed out on winning the league because Eddie Howe's Bournemouth meant they missed out on winning the league because they were set to win it. But they drew 0-0 in their match and they were set to win it. But because of that, Doncaster won it. Which is incredible.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Delighted to see. You know?
So you don't get that kind of... Okay, you do in the Premiership with Aguero, but you don't get that in the top leagues, especially not this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, in all the top leagues, you know.
You know what else you don't get in the top leagues? Kevin Day interviews. I'm sure.
No, it's not Kevin Day.
It is Kevin Day, isn't that his
name? No, that's not Kevin Day. That's the other guy. Kevin Day.
Well,
Cam.
The B-side Kevin Day. Which is... horrendous.
The B-side to Kevin Day's album.
But it'd just be another Bantam song or something.
Oh, no.
But he, whatever his name is, that bald lad on Football League show that ruins games, his interviewing was just ridiculous. He got caught up in the moment.
We won the Doncaster Prize at the end.
Yeah,
it?
And he was just like nearly thrashing at him. And he was like, the microphone.
Didn't have the microphone near his mouth.
Didn't have the microphone near his mouth. So any of the answers were kind of half picked up. I was like, I knew they were going to miss the pedal.
But he was very confident, that player was very confident.
Yeah, that was really weird.
In retrospect, very confident.
Yeah.
What I'd like to have seen, like, it cut from that to a shot of him, like, biting his nails and tearing his non-existent hair.
We mentioned that Doncaster's goalkeeper is none other than Neil Sullivan.
Yeah.
43
couldn't
years
believe
old.
That.
43.
Love it.
Love it. I love it if we beat him. Love it.
Love Neil Sullivan. Love,
love it if we beat Neil Sullivan.
Oh, I love
get
Neil
him, Sullivan. Beat him. Win the league.
What if Beckham went to the Championship next year and Neil Sullivan was playing in the Championship?
And he loved him.
And he loved him.
To finish his career.
That's not horrible.
The last day of the season.
Oh, no.
And Beckham.
Well, there's two bookends of.
Yeah, Beckham and QPR. Career. He loves them. Loves Neil Sullivan and wins QPR promotion.
What
and sails off into the sunset.
What
age,
a horse.
What age is Sullivan?
He's 43.
Great player.
Maybe he's still playing because he's. You know, he just wants to make amends.
Oh, imagine he saved one at the end of the season, and they stayed up
and
from relegation,
and then he ascended into heaven.
And now Sullivan is done. He's completed football.
That'll be great.
I'll be even better if they got a penalty. Maybe it was just Beckham.
Speaking of Beckham,
yeah, we go from League One to
your link out for you.
Yeah, Beckham got sent off for Paris Saint-Germain with a lovely tackle.
I can see what he was trying to do. I think it was a bit harsh.
I remember this very similar to
there was one during the week.
No, actually. I was going to go to
no
way back Adebayor for Arsenal against Liverpool. Went in to shield the ball, but kind of went
actually,
right
I
down.
That,
I think it might be Carragher's foot and got sent off. And everybody was just like, "What?" I mean, he was just protecting the ball. And I remember talking about it with people at the time, like, "Oh no, it was like people were so divided." It was like, "That's a sending off." And other people were like, "No, it's not a sending off." Beckham's was a bit over the top, I think. There was a bit more of a leg swinging at it, but he hurt the other player because he let out a very loud scream.
On the other level, it actually happened in the Bayern Munich game. Ribery tried to shield it from Dani Alves, and Alves came through like, and it wasn't a free kick. Ribery basically just shielded the ball, you know. But this one was just dangerous from Beckham. It was just more reckless and stupid. It wasn't a vicious tackle. He wasn't going in to hurt him. Beckham just whatever way he got lifted, he lifted his foot up too high. It was bloody stupid. He's been around long enough to know not to do that.
I think did Danny Alves do one of those kind of stood on the ball and spun around? Not actually stood on the ball, but kind of put his foot on the ball and spun it in a different direction and kind of ran away from his defense, like Zidane used to do.
Yeah,
you know, he put his foot on the ball, kind of spin, and he's gone the other direction.
Possibly, but he also lost 7-0.
I didn't think that was Thiago.
Might well have been Thiago. He hasn't played a lot.
No, and it's actually
very sidetracked, lads.
Yeah, Beckham's tackle.
Yeah, it's a weird like. You can see what
we should put that just, in there.
Have they won the league? It's there.
No, I'm not sure.
I don't think they have it. No, I don't think they have it. What were you gonna say?
Yeah, but that tackle is a weird one because you can see what he's trying to do, and usually, if it's at a different angle, that's fine. But the ball is like
right in front of him,
and
he lifts his foot right.
He tries to put his foot over the ball and then turn his back so that he's shielding the ball. but it just doesn't work when the ball is there.
He didn't even have the ball to shield it, which is...
Yeah,
he wasn't spinning away from his player. He was lost control. He put his foot over the top, which isn't nice.
Actually, Paris Saint-Germain could win the league this week, I believe.
Ooh. Barcelona could win it this weekend as well. They could have won it last weekend, but they drew 2-2 with Atletico Bilbao. Or Athletic Bilbao.
Yeah.
Not Atletico. They don't like that. It's like Notts Forest.
I've said that a few times on this show as well.
Atletico Bilbao. It was and their
Athletic Bilbao.
Athletic Bilbao.
We make mistakes sometimes. We're sorry.
Herrera goal late on. Was it 98th minute?
I believe so. It was very, very late anyway.
Bullet points at this stage. Didn't win the league.
Madrid
beat Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
Real Madrid beat Atletico Madrid 2-1. And they're gonna play each other in the Copa del Rey final in a few weeks, I think now. And Atletico Madrid haven't.
Jesus, it seems so long ago. I think I remarked on this when it happened, but it was like there's such a gap between.
Those semi-finals were played in January.
It's mental.
They were played before the League Cup final was played in England. I mean, you make a point.
Oh no, not about this final. I was gonna make a point about something totally different when you're done.
Oh, okay, right. Well, I was gonna say was Atletico Madrid haven't beaten Real Madrid in the league since 1999, I think.
Wow.
Which is incredible.
That is.
I think Madrid just won game after game after game, but I don't know how it fares out in the cup, but you'd still imagine Madrid are favourites. And people are talking about, oh, Mourinho's gone, he's gone. He can still go with winning a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could lift the trophy before he leaves, another trophy before he leaves, and it's not a bad way to go.
No, I mean, we all know he wanted the Champions League before he went. And that's why
three semi-finals in a row.
He's being flirty with everyone else now.
It's like a girl who's kind of breaking up with her fella.
Yeah, chatting to all the exes and being very sly about how he's going about it. Even though he's still with that current, just kind of making it very clear that, like, in about 2 months' time, I'll be off shagging other clubs.
what was your point?
Oh, I don't know how we're this. We'll link in. Speaking of shagging, Jamie Carragher is now going to be part of the Sky Sports team.
Yeah, we're meant to mention that. We're talking about Liverpool. Yeah, it's a strange one. Not a strange one. I mean, but it's going to be weird to see him on there with Gary Neville.
Yeah. You know, it'll be a nice change from... I suppose he'll be there with Redknapp as well, won't he?
Yeah.
Teaming up against Gary Neville.
See, that's the thing.
I'm not a queen.
It irritated me because a few people that I know having a pop kind of saying all the commentators are very Liverpool-y. And stuff like that. And, you know, the point to me, a lot of Liverpool commentators, I'm like, it was an Arsenal fan that made the point to me. It wasn't you.
Wasn't me?
No, we haven't talked about it yet. And I was like, well, you've got your Dixon, you've got your... No, Quinn was an Arsenal player. You've got... I had three and I can't remember
now. Keown?
Keown, yeah, Keown. You know, just a fair few. You can't go...
Oleg Luzhny on the Ukrainian
team.
You can't go, oh, there's no, like, Wigan... Like, why is Gary Caldwell in representing?
You probably
Wigan,
should
like,
do that. Yeah, you're up to football.
But, Phil Neville was on Match of Day also talking up his
media
career. Well, no, he said he wants to do management and he doesn't know why. Probably not
Gary
the best
Gary Neville made had a dig. Gary Neville, kind of go, oh, about time one of the...
Gary Lineker had a dig.
Sorry,
yeah.
Gary Lineker
I was going to say that, yeah.
And then he tweeted later going, the Gary Neville gag was just a joke. It's like, I think he's a fantastic pundit.
It's such a shame. I bet you he was made do that as well.
Everybody knew it was a joke. I mean,
yeah, it's such a shame because that's what the BBC does to that show. It would be good for that show to move elsewhere, I think. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, you can't move BBC.
It was on ITV.
Yeah, but that was awful.
That was terrible.
They were shown at 7 o'clock and all. It was awful. No, and ad breaks. I'd rather wear that.
The problem with it is that it's too like refined like that. They try not to.
I think they need to.
Gary Lineker has a personality. He's not just.
He's
apart
not
from
like
shitting himself and just presenting games and being a class striker. He seems like a funny guy when he talks in some interviews. You know.
Yeah.
And in the Walker's ads.
Yeah.
Hysterical.
They could tie it in that they need to compete with Sky Sports is kind of covered as well because they've with Gary Neville everybody just rates him as the number one pundit now.
Yeah,
I just think the whole format of Match of the Day is a bit stale as well. They could do it up a bit, bring in some new pundits.
Wait till Murray's gone on Match of the Day. It's gonna stir things up. Did you see him and there was a great moment of that when they were talking. Les Ferdinand was talking about like the reception at all clubs.
Yeah,
and he was like, oh, they're great to me, blah 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 blah. And Colin Murray kind of turned and you just knew he was going to Michael. I was like, and Michael, what about? And Michael's done not very good.
No, he did Newcastle, but one I went to,
Yeah, kind of, you know, he did have a bit of a
always on the bench
laugh thing about it. You know, he wasn't taking it too seriously, but it's still great. You were like, he's gonna ask my girl on. He's gonna ask him. I can't wait to. Are they gonna need subtitles now? The character's on.
Yes.
Or they're gonna have to watch his mic volume, because I imagine it'd be loud and full of CHs. All over the place.
I just, Gary Neville must hate him, and he must hate Gary Neville. I just wonder what's gonna be like.
Do you think they'll hate each other?
Yeah. Gary Neville will hate him. Gary Neville despises Liverpool.
Yeah, but I'm not enough to, I mean, he's sitting in the studio with Redknapp.
He doesn't like Redknapp though.
Well, you're making all these accusations.
Accusations.
You know? I don't like Redknapp, I can confirm that for you. No, I actually don't know. I'm unsure about Carragher. Is it? I've seen him once or twice, he's been alright, but I don't think I'd
I feel like he would regularly talk up his own striking ability.
Read Carra, the autobiography of Jamie Carragher.
But I just think you should play a puzzle last game.
That voice that you're doing, it sounds like you're going to do like a dramatic reading of Jamie Carragher's autobiography.
Oh, I'd have to add the C. I'd have to try and carve out all the in it. He even writes like that.
He definitely wrote himself. Anyway, look, lads, we've come to the end of another week of podcasting. I know, look, lads, it's just the way it happens. Look, you know, time is against us here. If you want to get in touch, it's the 12thmanpodcast@hotmail.com. It's the email address. Or you can go to @12thmanpodcast on Twitter, numerical12, and get on there. Like us in our fire, follow us on Twitter, or like the Facebook page. You get all the updates, you get the podcast up there, you get videos up there, you get just nonsense, you know. You get talk of Jeremy Kyle taking team talks, all that kind of stuff.
That kind of stuff that you don't get anywhere else.
No, that kind of stuff that you won't get that mix of stuff anywhere else.
There's, you know, there's fun to be had on it. Steve Keane versus Cyber Shark is still up there.
If you want to
still battling away. Round 12,876.
I'm surprised the Shark has destroyed him at this stage.
We'll follow up with that at the end of the season.
Let's see if there's anything left of Steve.
If you do want to send us any questions, do. Best place would be on the old Twitter, @12thmanpodcast, as I said. Look, thank you, Declan Maron.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful as always. And thank you, Ruth Tolbert.
Thank you.
It's been a delight with yourself. And thank you for myself, Shane Keane. Goodbye.
20 grand. With big Niall Quinn. An average Mark Lawrence. I'm average.
I'm just a normal man.
Living in a lonely world.
I like men.
We also left your kitchen and set your man on fire.
I didn't ask her about any of this. I asked her about her putting her finger up.
Oh, maybe I start talking about this.
Bale took the shot and went in off voice in the end.
Actually,
carry on. Speed over distance over your sister.